Okay, so now we're going to talk about definite and indefinite karma, but kind of looking at it in a slightly different way. And so here we have, this one's also quite interesting. There's this breakdown of karma in terms of performed and accumulated, okay? And the terms here are quite misleading. So when I explain it, I might just change the terms. But the literal translation is performed and accumulated. Performed means actions that you've done, that you've committed, okay? And accumulated means actions that have been done with intention, okay? In other words, yeah, actions that have been done with intention, where you have the motivation to do that. So when we look, we can make four different things. We can have actions that were done and intended, okay? Then we can have actions that were done but not intended. Then we can have actions that were not done but intended. You know, things that weren't done but the motivation was there. And then you can have actions that were neither intended nor done. Okay? So we have four different categories mixing up these two things. Okay? It's real interesting to think about, you know, like the different actions we do in the day, how it relates to this. So let me go back and explain these four categories, and then you can try and make some examples from your own life. Okay, so actions performed, or I'm saying done, and accumulated, and I'm saying intended. Okay, so these are things that are going to be definite karma. You have the intention, yeah, and you've done it. Okay, so it's not like we're spaced out, it's not like we've done something by accident, but there's a very clear intention to do something, and then also all the other branches of the action are complete because you actually carried your intention out and did it. Okay, and then also you don't have any regret afterwards. Yeah, so it's when that mosquito is on your arm, and I intend to get it, and I want it, and I say, fantastic, afterwards. Where are more mosquitoes? Or you cheat on your taxes, and you say, this, you know, you have a motivation to cheat on your taxes, and I'm really glad I did it, and I'm going to do it again. Actually, this is getting off the topic, but it would be interesting to discuss. What about, because there's a big movement now, for people to not pay the amount of tax that would go for the military expenditures? Yeah? So is that stealing or not stealing? Anyway, I'll leave you with that. Interesting to think about. Okay, so things that are done and accumulated, you have the motivation, you have the action, there's no regret afterwards. Okay, so some for examples would be, you know, you get up in the morning and you generate your positive motivation. You know, today I'm not going to harm others, I'm going to help them as much as possible, I'm going to do everything for the long-term goal of becoming a Buddha for others' benefit. So you motivate like that in the morning, and then during the day you do like that. Okay, so that's something that is both intended and done. Or another example is, you have your idea to, you know, go out and steal, and you go out and do it, and that's it. Or somebody else tells you to do this. You know, somebody else said, hey, you know, your company has this and that. Can't you bring some of it home for me? They won't miss it. And you think, oh, yeah, my company does have a lot of money. I can take some of this and that and bring it home for my friend. My friend will like me better. And you do it. So even though somebody else has told you to do it, still you have the intention to do it. So we have to be careful, you know, about what we do that other people tell us to do. Because in this case, it isn't like they're forcing us. It isn't like they're nagging us and wearing down our will. You know, they tell us, I'll go do it. So pay attention to that one. Okay? So these are some of the examples of things that are intended and done. We have the motivation, and then we go out and do it. Yeah, so those are going to be definite karmas, and they're going to be much stronger things. Okay, now the second category of things that were not intended but done. Okay, so these are things where we didn't have the motivation to do it, but the action got done. So for example, what I was saying before, like you're pressed into military service, you have no intention to kill, and you're forced to do it. So that kind of thing. You know, when you don't want to. If you're pressed into military service, you're told to kill, and then you think, oh yeah, I'll do it. Then it falls into this first category of both intended and done. But if you're forced to do it and you don't want to do it from your heart, then it's not intended, but it's done. So the result of, you know, this one probably won't bring a maturation result because you didn't have a complete action. You didn't have the intention there. Okay, so it's going to be an indefinite one. Or another example of this is when you just act unknowingly. So you don't really have an intention to do something, but it just kind of turns out that way. Yeah. Sometimes, like, people come up and they thank us afterwards, and then we realize we had no intention to help them. It just kind of happened. Yeah. Or same way, you know, people might complain about us harming them, but we did it unknowingly. No intention there. Okay. Or actions that we do for the heck of it. Again, you know, just kind of not considering what we're doing, no real intention, just kind of off the top of the head, really reckless. Yeah?
Yeah, when you mentioned the IRS, this really did something to me, because I have very hard time. I did this, actually. It's like I, what is called, cheated. And then I said, well, if they cash me, I'll give them the money. If they don't cash me, I can do the verification. But... But I feel really bad because I shouldn't purify something that I honestly don't regret. Don't regret if I get away with something because I feel so bad about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard for me to honestly feel that I owe them something because they ripped me off so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what do? You trick yourself into purifying something you really don't believe? Or
well, to purify, what's the first step in purification?
To regret it.
Yeah. So are you purifying?
I guess I don't know. That's what it means. You said last time that you start on rationalizing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I rationalize it because I say, well, I give them more than I should be giving them, and they're like finding things. Like I get all this thing,
mm-hmm.
and this gets to a point where I am convinced that they don't have the right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm convinced that they don't have the right to do it, then I shouldn't purify them because I don't feel they have the right to. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that ignorance of my part?
Well, you have to think about why you don't think they have the right to do it. In other words, everybody else in the country should pay taxes, but not you?
No.
Yeah?
They don't have the right to do it to anybody else either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you just have to think kind of what is the law of the land, what is fair, what people have agreed upon as a group, you know? I mean, if a government institutes a policy that is clearly a criminal policy, you know, then if you don't go along with that, I think you can have very strong ethical reasons for not going along with something when a government is doing something criminal. But when it's not a case of a government instituting a criminal party, and it's more like, well, I don't want to do this because somehow I'm special and, you know, I deserve more something than everybody else does. You have to check up. Yeah. Because it's funny, you know, we're always coming out. It's funny, you know, I'm always the one who shouldn't have to pay IRS so much. And I'm always the one who should get more of this. And I'm always the one who shouldn't have to do that. I mean, I never think about other people in those situations. You know, I never look around the room and say, oh, you shouldn't have to give so much to IRS. No, you give to IRS, that's good. I want you to pay for the roads and you to pay for the welfare, but, you know, I have better things to do with my money. Yes.
So there are many, many people based on whatever their political.
Yeah, and to me, you know, my opinion of that is that that's quite a different thing. You know, if you feel that that this money is getting used to kill other people, yeah, then the movement of what some Buddhists have been doing is you just subtract that proportion of your taxes that would go for military budget. You subtract that from the check that you send in, and you tell them why you're doing it. And actually, there was an article, we put it up here. Yeah, and I was thinking it'd be really nice if, as a group, we wrote a letter to some of the Congress people, because there's some amendment or some bill underfoot so that you could be like a conscientious objector taxpayer. Yeah, so that you don't have to pay money towards your taxes towards the military if you don't want. You still have to pay the same amount, but they would put all that in towards like social welfare or education or something. So somebody put that bill before Congress. I think it'd be really neat if, as a group, we let those people know that this is good. Because I think that, there you're really acting with a very clear ethical conscience. You know, and you don't want your money and resources going for the harm of others.
But wouldn't they just pick up the budget somewhere else?
I think we just do the best we can from our side. Yeah. And we can't sit on top of everybody. So, you know, we try and direct our resources the best way we think fit, but we, you know, can't always control everything. Okay, so also something that is not intended but done is when we do something but it doesn't go according to our plan. Okay, so we had an intention to do this and get this result, and we did something, but it didn't go as we had planned. And so something other than what we had intended happened. So that action is one that was not intended but done. Okay, like, you know, you intend to kill a mosquito, but instead you kill a tick. Okay, so also, if you do actions half-heartedly, you know, it's like, you know, you're kind of doing something and at the same time you feel like, I really shouldn't be doing this or I don't want to be really doing it. And then as soon as you do it, you have regret and you think, I'm not going to do this again. So there, you know, it's kind of like you had the intention, but you didn't have the intention. Yeah, because you were regretting it almost at the same time you were doing it. Yeah, and so those kinds of things are going to be not intended but done. Yeah. And that works equally as well for our positive actions. Yeah, when we're kind of, you know, we're making some kind of contribution and all the whole time thinking, I don't want to really do this. You know, if somebody asks you for help and you think, I don't want to really do this, but I kind of gotta. So that's something where, so you're doing it, but at the same time you're regretting it, wishing you weren't doing it. So that's done but not intended. So it's not going to be a real strong one. Okay? Or, for example, you're forced by somebody else to do something. You know, you're forced by somebody to kill and you regret it. You know, or you think of a woman who's forced into prostitution by economic conditions, but she doesn't want to, you know, behave in that way. Or people forced into situations where there's not the intention, but there is the action. So, it's not going to have a definite result. Okay, and so this works very, you know, like I mentioned before, for both positive and negative actions if we regret it afterwards. So that's why they say it's really important when we've done something positive to make sure we don't regret it and to make sure we dedicate it. Because it's so easy for, you know, some regret to come in. You know, like you have some impetus and some bright idea. Oh, I really want to give somebody something. Yeah, and you feel really good and you give them something and then afterwards you think, what did I give them that for? Now I don't have it. Yeah. I mean, we've done that, haven't we? So then it's like, you know, we kind of destroy all the good karma. So we have to be really careful not to regret our positive actions. No, you know, maybe you're a little bit tired before you come to teachings. You think, oh yeah, okay, I'll go to teachings. And you come, you know, and so you're intending to come and you want to come. And then, you know, you could kind of good and you're enjoying it while it's happening. And then after you leave, it's like, again, you just feel really wiped out. Yeah, because kind of you had an upshot of energy while the teachings was going on and then you left and just, and then you go, oh, why did I even go? I should have gone home and go to bed. Yeah? So kind of regretting the positive action. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. Yeah?
What if you regret it one day and then the next
day? Yes, you're not sure what you've regretted. You regret that you've regretted going to teaching, and you regret that you regret. Yeah, I mean, I think all the different kinds of regret are going to have some kind of effect. Because, you know, if you go and then you regret it, you are diminishing that karma. But if later on you again rejoice about it, you're creating good karma by rejoicing. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you still do lose something by initially regretting. Like they, you know, when they talk about this kind of thing, you know, because some people think, well, I can do a negative action, and I'll just purify it afterwards, or, you know, I'll regret it, and then I can unregret it later. That's why I say, well, I can break my leg and then put it in the cast, and it'll be okay afterwards. You know, it's never kind of quite the same. It's better not to break your leg to start with. So, same like this. Okay.
Yourself, but yeah, I really do regret it again.
Well,
there can't be regret there.
Yeah, and there's also not the determination to avoid it in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not going to have full purification. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's why, really, with purification, just to get our minds to the point where we can regret something, that's the most important thing. Because sometimes we do purification, but we don't do it with real regret. We do it with this kind of mind that says, well, I should feel bad for doing that.
That's the mechanism where you can't purify.
It's difficult because it's like, I mean, just you look even in a grosser example. If you have a criminal who sees nothing wrong with killing, how is that person ever going to go back to live in society peacefully? They have no regret. There's no determination to change in the future. So the same with us. If, you know, we may not be criminals, but if we have really ingrained bad habits that we don't feel any regret for, it's going to be hard to change the ways. And the mind is just getting ever more obscured, more and more and more obscured. And I think what's really difficult for us, especially at the beginning, is to admit our mistakes, because I think that there's something in us that feels, well, if I really admit that I was wrong, then that means I'm a horrible person, and like there's just too much fear involved in admitting our mistakes, you know, because I think somehow we're afraid of ourselves, we're afraid of our own judgmental mind, that if I really admit that was a mistake, then I must be a horrible person, then this is how, you know, and so we kind of pile up the rationalizations and the justification and all this kind of stuff. But meanwhile, underneath, we feel really confused and achy and unresolved. And actually, I think if we just get ourselves to the point where we say, okay, look, I made a mistake, that doesn't mean I'm an awful person. That doesn't mean I'm evil and sinful and condemned to hell for eternity. You know, I mean, we don't have to let our whole judgmental mind be like a huge ocean wave crashing over us. We can just kind of be a little bit honest about our mistakes, and I think that brings a tremendous sense of relief. Yeah? Because sometimes when we're trying not to look at things, we spend much more energy avoiding them than if we just took them out and looked at them and cleaned them up. Yeah.
If I'm a virtuous person, then it's going to keep on going, taking advantage of me.
I mean, that's interesting, isn't it, that we have this feeling that if we act virtuously, we're going to get taken advantage of? And that's really permeates our culture, doesn't it? Yeah? That if you're a nice guy, look out, because other people are going to trample on you. And so we're kind of caught in this thing, because one part of our culture is saying, be nice, it's Christmas time. And then the other part is saying, don't be nice, because you're going to get really taken advantage of. And so I think we get caught in a lot of these culturally learned attitudes, and whereas what we need to do is just sit down and think, what do I believe? Yeah. What do I feel is really virtuous? Not what other people tell me to do, because otherwise I'm going to be taken advantage of, and not what other people consider taken advantage of, and not all these things, but what really do I believe in, and what are my standards?
Would you say that the moments of ego?
I think in many cases, yes. Yeah. I mean, you really have to look, and if you're doing civil disobedience from ethical reasons, I think that can be quite powerful. Okay? I mean, if you have a society like Nazi Germany, and let's say you were one of the people who realized that, millions of people there were getting killed, and you decided to not, you know, go along with the army and not pay the taxes and not follow the laws because, you know, your doing so was leading to millions of people being killed, and so you did acts of civil disobedience, I would think you'd be acting ethically. Whereas if, you know, you knowingly knew that, people were destroying other people's lives and you went along with it, you know, putting your head in the ground.
It just depends on what you think.
Well, I think you have to, it's not just a matter of public opinion, you know. I mean, because some people would say, yes, you know, we're acting very ethically. We're killing everybody who's not white. Yeah, you know, that was somebody's ethical standards. Yeah, but I don't think that kind of ethics has, it deserves the name ethics. That's something that's merely labeled, not even inaccurately labeled, okay? No basis for the label. So it's not just a question of, you know, my own personal beliefs, but if you, you know, can look, you know, because we talked a lot about the 10 destructive actions and the 10 constructive actions. And if within that you can look and find a basis for whatever you're believing, you know, then you know you're on the right track.
So, persons conscripted into the military and is not inclined to kill people, but realizes that if he doesn't learn the lessons being taught in boot camp and so on, and go out and kill people, then he will in turn be killed.
Yeah. So that kind of thing where somebody's forced in the military where they have to or else their life is going to be taken, okay? I think there's definitely some negative karma involved in that, but it's not going to be like the person who said, rah, rah, I'm going out to enlist and I'm going to go kill as many people as I can, because the motivation's totally different. Yeah? Completely different. And so that's why, you know, whenever you look at a large group of people, every single person in it is going to be creating different karma according to their motivation.